Blog Talk Radio.
It's due time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Zoo Time with Pastor Steph. With me again, Shanti. Yes, this is the last morning you will hear my voice as your host. Oh, that means this is the last morning Pastor Steph will have for vacation. Another one. Not because we don't miss her, but I'm sure she's enjoying the time to chillax. I might say chillax instead of relax. And the time she took chillax, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. But I just have one question before the question that we stepped over. Have y'all been having fun with me? I hope y'all have, because I've been having fun, and this has been a little challenging for me the past few days, not necessarily just posting, but the waking up, because let me tell y'all, I don't go to bed until it's time to wake up, okay, so making sure that I'm getting up, not just on time to start the show, but a little before that, just to make sure I'm properly prepared, just make sure it doesn't sound like I haven't seen the cold out of my eye yet and I haven't brushed my teeth yet, because I have. I promise you. I know I'll be able to smell. But just making sure that I'm on point for y'all, because Pastor Steph always comes to y'all. So I can't be dependent and be slacking in any area. I hope that you guys were with us yesterday. We are on. Did y'all miss it? Pastor always asked, where were you yesterday? So yesterday we went over some emotional health tips, and the experts gave us a few steps to take to make sure that, you know, with, you know, this learned behavior very, very well. Let's pull up these tips really quick to go over these. So they were saying, be aware of your emotions and reactions. Express your feelings in appropriate ways. Think before you act. Strive for balance, find purpose and meaning. I thought those were some good tips. You were able to follow the experts yesterday. Okay. Then we went into our news where we spoke about the 101-year-old man who decided to go back to school after 80 years to get his diploma, not to even get any advanced educational degree, but to go back and get that basic accomplishment. I thought that was great. Says a whole lot about your character and what you want for yourself and not what you want to have under your belt. And again, remembering that as long as God blesses you with the breath in your body and your physical ability, mental ability, emotional and spiritual ability, that anything is possible. You're always able to right your wrong. God gives you the opportunity. Then we spoke about this very, 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 very interesting TikTok video done by a couple of millennials that have taken these pronouns a whole other unnecessary step further, where they have enemy pronouns. So instead of him or her pronouns, they got the pronouns, human, that they are part of them. So yeah, if please go back, because I can't read this riddle. I can't. I was trying to read it until I was blue in the face just to make sure that I understood it. And even when I got on air and read it, it still wasn't making much sense. But I had the panel and our listeners kind of clarify it for me. But we just take, well, I ain't putting myself in that. They are just taking these things a little too far, and it just shows how the enemy is trying to make sure he's suddenly, you know, sneaking in with where he, how he's trying to introduce himself to the people who are not that savvy yet to understand what he's doing. And then we spoke about Kirk Franklin's son, Kerryon Franklin. Yes, the same son who, quote-unquote, tried to put him on blast a couple of years ago when they had a verbal dispute, and he put the video out there to go virtual, trying to discredit his father. Well, now he is in the headlines for being arrested for something. They didn't say exactly what it was, but not only was he arrested and detained without bail in L.A., but he also has another case open in Texas that he has to go take care of. So we don't know if he's gonna, they're going to send him over there, or if they're just going to hold him in L.A. to clear up whatever's going on that he done did over there. I don't know, but it was just very, very interesting to know that you tried to put your father out there, and now you just ended up putting yourself out there somehow, some way. Okay, so if you didn't listen, make sure you go back and you listen, because we did get a little detailed with each story. Okay, and today, unfortunately, we do not have our Vivian with the socially conscious, because she had to step into someone else and make sure she's a blessing elsewhere. But she did send us some wow worthy stories. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. And as Pastor Steph said, go grab your coffee, go grab that healthy breakfast. We will be right back.
Irritable bowel syndrome can affect women more than men, although men do have it. Symptoms would include a pattern of altered bowel habits like diarrhea, constipation, abdominal bloating, abdominal pain, abdominal cramping, gas, a sense of incomplete evacuation, and a combination of all of the above. In addition, it occurs over a certain amount of time, and that's what qualifies it as being irritable bowel syndrome. Oftentimes, people can have an incidence of diarrhea or constipation episodically, but if we start to see a pattern where this is a regular phenomenon that someone is experiencing, then they should seek medical attention for that. You shouldn't be afraid to seek any medical attention for those symptoms. Oftentimes there are treatments we can give patients that will make them feel better. So don't be afraid to come and talk to us.
It was a well-paying job, respectable, wearing a suit and tie every day, but I drank 24/7. Woke up, drank 8 or 9 shots of vodka, drank on the way to work, drank at work.
I never could come to terms with admitting that I had an alcohol problem or a pill problem or any problem.
I decided one last time to get clean, and so I went to the Knockin' On program.
Not only did I handle my drug addiction, I completely knew how to live life.
Okay, good morning, good morning, good morning. We are back. So I have a couple of listeners telling me that I'm breaking up some, so I hope I sound a bit clearer. If I do not, please notify me and let me know, because we want to make sure we are actually being on point with each other this morning. So we're going to dive into our news for today again. Unfortunately, we're missing our Vivian with the socially conscious, but like I said before our commercial break, she did send us some wow-worthy news, some wow-worthy stories. But before we get into our stories really quick, I did come across a health topic that I thought was very, very interesting. We're talking about education and your health. You know, and it was, of course, you know about physical education in school. When you go to gym, I didn't always like that unless I was able to jump double dutch. You know, I was never into sports. And, of course, in school we know about sex education where, you know, they teach us about sex, you know, in their way without getting too blunt with things, but just, you know, the bare minimum. But this here actually shows the connection between our physical health and our education. Okay, so there was a study done by a Stephen Wolf, and that study focused on how education can increase a person's life expectancy, and the quality of their life. So he did a study back in 2011 that showed that the widespread of diabetes in the U.S. was 15% for adults who did not complete high school, and that was twice as high as the rate for college graduates. Okay, the study also showed that more than one-fourth of adults without a high school diploma were smokers, compared to 8% of college graduates. Okay, adults who did not finish high school can expect to live 9 years less than their college-graduated peers. I found that very, very interesting. Okay, a study also showed that low-income areas have shortages of primary care physicians, which we all know, but people with lower levels of education have worse health than those with more education, even when both sides have the same access to the same type of health care. So although the low-income areas, they do have a shortage of the primary care, the study showed that that didn't make a bit of a difference, because even when both sides had the access to it, you still came up short with your health. I found that very interesting. It was like, wow, that does say a lot about, I guess, the choices you make. Or, and again, you know, we spoke yesterday about the guy who went back to high school after 80 years to, you know, to get his diploma. And, you know, like I said, I spoke to a few people that I know who didn't go back for that. And one of the things that I thought about was, you know, how God is teaching us that you're not just one way in one part of your life. It does go across your life, and this is showing that it goes across into your physical health. So there is a program called Reach Out and Read, and this program actually trains and supports physicians who give new books to children from the age of 6 months to 5 years old, and they stress to parents the importance of reading out loud to your children. You know, and I guess especially while they're still at the age where you keep them home or you keep them in daycare because they're a little too young to start going to the pre-K and kindergarten, where obviously they're in front of teachers and in the classroom setting where a lot more reading is going on and taking place. But the program, the mission is to promote early childhood literacy and language development. Okay, so again, just understanding how I found this very interesting, you know, how the diabetes rate is higher. And, you know, of course, they speak about, oh, well, if you don't get a good education and you don't get a good job, which means you can't afford health care, or you're not getting a job that provides better health care, and now, of course, your health gets shot down because you haven't given yourself the opportunity to be able to take care of yourself better. You know, so it is very, very important that we pay attention to how these things that we don't always deem important affects our lives very, very heavily, okay? In addition to that, I did come across, for those of us who live in New York, I came across 10 high schools, the top 10 high schools in New York. And I know, I remember back when I was in junior high school, you know, applying to high school was like applying to college. You know, they gave us this huge, thick book that had all of the high schools in the surrounding areas, you know, even if it was in different boroughs, and they gave you the breakdown of each program that each high school offered, and you went through the book and you chose and you applied. And I remember I had to go to audition because that's when I was still heavily into performing arts. And I just cheated myself out of everything because even in junior high school, I was cut in class. And that's what actually got me knocked out of being accepted to a lot of the decent high schools. Not because I wasn't getting good grades, but I wasn't in school long enough to show that I was consistent with getting a good grade. So I wanted to mention, for those of you who have children here in the New York City area or the New York area, high schools, the top 10 high schools that they give, that you and your child should pay attention to and God spares can possibly look into applying to. So number 10 is Roslyn High School, and that is in Long Island. Number 9 is the High School of American Studies at Lehman College, and that is in the Bronx. I actually want to go to that college. A really, really good performing arts program back when I was applying many years ago. Okay, number 8, High School Math, Science, and Engineering at the City College of New York. I believe that's in Manhattan. Number 7, we have Syosset Senior High School, and that is in Long Island. Coming in at number 6, you have Great Neck South High School, which is also in Long Island. Coming in at number 5, you have Jericho Senior High School, and that's in Nassau County, Long Island. Number 4, Townsend Harris High School, and that is in Queens. Number 3, you have Staten Island Technical High School, obviously in Staten Island. Number 2, you have Bronx High School of Science. And number 1, you have Stuyvesant High School, which is based in Manhattan. Okay, so again, those of you parents that are in the tri-state area, if you have children or know of any kids in elementary, junior high school that will, God spares, that will be looking to go to high school soon, please look up these high schools, check out their programs. Again, these are the top 10 rated high schools in the New York City area. Okay, so just making sure that we're paying attention to how our education affects our health, and not only our physical health, but our mental, emotional, and spiritual health as well. Okay, so we're going to dive into these news topics. And some of this stuff is, we went from not being able to have too much news to really choose from because of the whole situation in Ukraine and then the whole fiasco with Will Smith and Chris Rock, to now it's just like, goodness gracious, which ones do I pick? People, in the words of Pastor Kim, people just out here losing their mind. Okay, so we have this 60-year-old who gets vaccinated 90 times to sell the vaccination cards. Like, what? Is this what we're doing? Hold on. Let me pull this up real quick. Because it was like, did I really need to read? I was like, okay, God, do I really even need to read this? Do I even want to read this? Because the headline alone just had me like, what are we doing out here? Okay, so it says a 60-year-old man allegedly had himself vaccinated 90 times so that each time he could get the vaccination card and he wouldn't fill it out. I don't know how that works. But I guess they give it to you and they don't fill it out, or they fill it out and you got to beat them to it before they fill it out. I don't know. But he just kept going back to back to get vaccinated so that he can sell these quote-unquote legitimate cards to those people. And now, I'm not sure if I said it, but this is based in Germany City. Okay? So out there in Germany, he's doing this and selling it to those who do not want to be vaccinated, but I guess listeners just sent something in. But they still have to show proof of being vaccinated. So I'm going to just buy this from you. And, of course, I assumed even when they first started it, you know, out here, I was like, just watch how many people sell the fake vaccination cards. Well, I guess he wanted to be above that and sell the real vaccination cards, but it's still fake because you're selling it to people and they're showing proof of vaccination, but they're not the ones who got vaccinated. So either way, you're still cheating and you're still lying, okay? So he was pretty much getting away with this until he went, I guess, to the same clinic and went to the same clinic and so he went today and then he went the very next day and I guess whoever was in it was paying attention and I guess was asking him a couple of questions and notified the authorities. So they said the police had to confiscate several blank vaccination cards from him and I guess some charges are being presented. I don't even know. They're saying that they haven't stated yet how this has affected his body. I mean, already you're an elderly, you know, 60 is an old, but you're old, you know, and already you don't know how one vaccination shot is going to affect you, you know, because it does not hit everyone the same way. Some people say they got the vaccination shot and the booster and it didn't do anything, and some people said it affected them somehow. Or initially it didn't affect them, but by the time they went to go get the second shot, it did affect them. So I just felt like that was very dangerous, you know, with just thinking about your own personal health. So you're doing all of this. Like, how much were you selling these vaccination cards for? I would have loved for them to have asked that question and posted that, because that is just, wow. Okay, so now we're out here just selling vaccination cards all willy-nilly. All right. Okay. I came across this story initially yesterday, and as soon as I did, I just started rolling my eyes. And when I came across it again last night, I was just like, okay, you know what? Let's just briefly talk about it because it does say a lot for, you know, the things that we pay attention to. And sometimes, you know, don't think it's too crazy until it comes back to bite us in the behind. But for those of you who don't know, and for those of you who do know, this will be a reminder for you. But back in 2003, there was this whole big fiasco between Ray J, that's Brandy's brother, and Kim Kardashian, because they did put out a sex tape. And it was this whole big thing, and then especially once Kim Kardashian got with Kanye West. Remember, Ray J put out the song talking about he was dealing with her first. And now, so allegedly there is another tape out, or I'm sorry, not necessarily another tape, but an extended version of the tape that somehow leaked out. And Kim Kardashian is now in an uproar because she's saying, hey, listen, back in 2003, I did what I did, but now I have four children. And apparently her six-year-old son, and see, again, it's just like really paying attention to what you're doing. And now it always has, you know, other people questioning your motives. But they do have a new reality show series on Hulu, The Kardashians. And apparently on one of the episodes, one of her kids, her six-year-old son, was playing Roblox on his tablet and came across a picture of mommy who, there was this picture of her, and you could tap on the picture and there's a link attached. And if you hit the picture, it takes you to the footage of the sex tape that wasn't originally leaked back in 2003. So she's on there and she's going off and, oh my goodness, I can't believe my son came across this and what is happening and I don't understand. And I'm so happy that my son isn't old enough to read, because I would really be upset. And it's like, these kids don't have to read now. Like, he saw mommy's face, and if he hit the link and he saw some physical stuff going on, what was it that he would have had to read? He would have just saw it and said, oh, mommy, what's this, if he didn't already know. No, because a lot of these six-year-olds, I'm telling you, I talk to these kids a little more than what I used to, and the stuff that come out their mouth and the things that they know and that they're aware of, you would be amazed, okay? So you worried about him being old enough to read, he can see. So you need to make sure that you're not doing anything. And it says a whole lot about the things that you do today, and you don't think about how it affects your tomorrow. So she's threatening to sue. She's saying, listen, there's a whole lot that I didn't know back in 03 that I know now. There's a whole lot more money I have now that I did not have back in 03. And listen, I will sue you. I will throw you under the mud. And she is really looking to sue Ray J's manager. It seems like she's more outraged with his manager more than him. So I don't know if somehow, you know, the manager had a lot more to do with this than Ray J. I don't know. But regardless of the fact, you now have to deal with this. You now have to deal with this. And you now have to be concerned with your children coming across this. And, you know, I personally feel a little bad for you because, you know, again, I know what it is to do something stupid and, you know, you've matured in whatever way, even if it's 2%, and now you're having to face this. And she thought, you know, this was handled and this was taken care of. This was almost 10 years ago. I'm sorry, 20 years ago. Almost 20 years ago. And it's not like you made a new tape, but footage from the old tape is now resurfacing. Yeah, it ain't looking good. And not only that, but, you know, you have your soon-to-be ex-husband, and it's like, I'm pretty sure it's crossing her mind, do I really want to give him this kind of ammunition, even if he wouldn't use it against her, but do I really want him to be able to have this to even say to me or about me? Because allegedly she did have to reach out to Kanye West so that they could speak to their son about what he saw, what he almost saw, however far I got as far as what he was able to see. So, oh boy, this turned into a big unnecessary mess over something that you did 20 years ago. Okay, and of course, I came across the article that gave details and discussed about the unfortunate incident that happened yesterday morning on the N train. It was, you know, one of the ladies from the church just did a check-in with everyone to see if they were safe. And, of course, I didn't know initially what she was talking about, but she just gave a real brief real quick before I get into that, we just got something from one of our listeners in regards to the Kim Kardashian story. And listener sent, now you thought about your kids, now you think about your kids. However, but what about the other kids that were able to see this 20 years ago? Yeah, well, I don't know if, I don't know if she really cared about kids who weren't hers, you know, because back then she didn't have any kids, you know, but now that she has kids of her own, then now it's like, okay, it just sets a whole different tone. So it does say a lot about, you know, when these kids actually come out of me, or these are kids that I'm responsible for versus, you know, there's kids out here every day, you know. So, you know, we were kind of quote-unquote kids, you know. In 03, I was, 17, 18 years old, so I wasn't her six-year-old, but I was a kid. You know, you don't really concern yourself with that unless they're linked to you. You know, and I ain't got no kids, but, you know, just thinking about, you know, if a kid who I don't know was to see something that I did back then, they'd be like, dag, they saw that. But if my niece saw it, oh, like, just kill me. You know, I wouldn't want her to know of certain things and see certain things. And so maybe she gets a little older, and I feel like I have to put her on to certain things so that she doesn't walk into it, you know, like I do my baby sister who's 23. As she was getting older, I started telling her bit by bit more of the stupid things that I did, not just so she could know my business, but so, you know, praying that it would help prevent her from walking into the same landmines, stepping on the same landmines that I stepped on. But nonetheless, you know, getting back into the incident that happened yesterday morning on the N train, there was a guy who disguised himself as a construction worker, and unfortunately, he has not been caught yet, but he had on the vest and the reflective vest and a helmet. And he set off a couple of smoke bombs before he started opening fire on the N train. And there were about 29 people wounded. And when I pulled up the article, it has a couple of videos attached to the article. And just watching, hearing the people yell and run, and, you know, after they noticed, like, when they ran off the train and they looked back on the platform and saw a couple of people laid out, you know, there were a few people who were shot in the leg and a few people who were shot elsewhere. And then there was another video that showed people in another car of the train who heard the gunshots, and they said they looked and there was someone banging on their car door, I guess asking them to open so they could get through. And of course they just went into a panic, you know. But one of the witnesses said, the guy said, "Oops, my bad," like out of nowhere. And he just opened the canister and dropped an axe on the floor or something like that. And next thing they knew, the car was filled with smoke, and he pulled out a 9mm Glock and just started shooting into the crowd at the passengers. And, you know, just the thought of that is just like, wow. And I just got finished saying to someone yesterday, like, I have not taken the train since this pandemic started. I thank God that I have not had to take the train. I live right here by the Long Island Railroad, so if I can't take the Long Island Railroad into the city and walk from there to wherever I have to go, then it is not meant for me to go. But amongst those who were hurt, there was a 15 and a 19-year-old, a pregnant woman who, thank God, she was only shot in the leg. Because as soon as I read pregnant woman, I was like, oh, my God, I hope she was not shot in her stomach. Then there were 7 men and 3 women. And there were 10 people who were actually shot, and 5 of them are in critical condition. They did not list any fatalities, thank God. Nonetheless, unfortunately, they were injured. And one of the first things that came to mind after I read that part is, well, so what now? We need metal detectors in subways? Like, do you understand, like, what that would mean as far as how much police would be needed? Because there are multiple entrances. Like, the train station near me, there's at least 4 different entrances to go into that one train station. So that means you have a metal detector and at least 1 cop at each entrance at that one stop. You know, it's just crazy. So they have a possible suspect, a 62-year-old by the name of Frank James. And apparently he's been shouting out some weird statements at the mayor and some weird threats on YouTube. I'm like, okay, what are you doing at 62-year-old? First, you got the 60-year-old man who's going out here getting multiple shots so that he can sell this these vaccination cards. And now you have a 62-year-old man who they believe is out here just randomly shooting people, and he claims that he has mental health issues. Well, obviously, because no one in their right mind is going to do something like this. Okay, so they actually said that the gun that was used by the shooter, they found 3 extended magazines on them. So for those who don't know, the magazines are the clips that hold the bullet. So not only did he have the bullet, the clip that was in the gun that he was shooting, but he had 3 additional clips on him. And apparently as he was shooting, the gun jammed. And according to the authorities, there was no reason why the gun should have jammed. So it was a miracle that it did, because if it did not jam, it would have been a whole lot more than just 29 people wounded. Okay, so they found that. They found the extra clips, gun clips. They found extra, like, some type of smoke bombs or something else in this bag. Somehow he left his bag behind. I don't know if he left it behind on purpose. I don't know what happened, but they found, like, extra weapons in this bag that the guy had. So, I mean, this was just, again, they haven't apprehended the suspect. They don't have anyone in custody, so Of course, you don't have anyone in custody. You can't ask anyone any questions as to a motive or whatever. They say that they really don't think that this was an act of terrorism. But again, you can't rule out everything because you don't have anybody to talk to outside of the victims. And the victims can't answer anything other than how they feel about what, you know, what happened and, you know, if they were injured or not. But it was just really, really, really unfortunate yesterday. And, you know, just thanking God again that even though these people were injured, no one lost their life. So let's go into with our ladies, and see what they think about these health tips and the news. Good morning, Elder Natisha.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I am good. I'm happy to be on with you. You're doing a fabulous job.
Thank you. You know, out of all days, Wednesday, I've really got to make sure I step it up on my T-shirt because y'all just be bringing it. Thank you. So were you able to hear the studies that were given about the health as far as how your education affects your health?
No, I missed that part. I came on when you were talking about the top 10 high schools.
Okay. Well, really quickly, they were saying that there was a study done by a doctor that showed that your education or lack thereof can affect your health. And they were saying that a study done back in 2011 showed that there was a widespread of diabetes that was 15% for adults who did not complete high school, and that was twice as high for those who did graduate college. And then they said more than one-fourth of adults without a high school diploma were smokers compared to 8% of college graduates. Adults who don't finish high school can expect to live 9 years less than their college graduate peers. And they're saying that even though in the low-income areas there's a shortage of primary care physicians, when they are given the same access to the same health care, the lower levels of education still have worse health than those who have excelled in their education, so those who have actually completed high school and then have gone on to college. Mm-hmm. So what do you think about those facts that the study gave?
Right. I think a number of things, right, are true or could be true about this study, and that's because you do normally find that those who have lower education do have lower income jobs, and because of that are fearful about the cost of going to see a primary care physician or going into health systems. They really only go to the hospital when, you know, it's really bad or when they are in pain and it's intolerable. Other than that, they don't feel like they have the financial means to invest in good health. And so because of that, I can see where, you know, that study is factual. And I think that it is sad, and I do think that it is something that plagues primarily Black and brown, you know, individuals. But I do think in rural communities as well, with other nationalities, that where there is poverty, right, where there is poverty, there is often a lack of education. And where there's a lack of education, there's also a lack of self-care.
Oh, I like that ending part. I like that ending part. Thank you. Okay. Did you go to any I went to August Martin High School. I know you grew up in the Bronx. I went to August Martin High School out here in Queens. And again, like I said, I cheated myself out of going to a good high school because of my attendance in junior high school, because I discovered how easy it was to cut school and decided not to go. And I actually applied to, there's a high school out here called Bayside High School. They had a really, really, really good performing arts high school, performing arts program. And I went and auditioned and got accepted, but once they saw my attendance, that's what made them reject me.
Wow.
The heart horrible. I just set myself all up for failure. Which high school did you go to?
I attended Adlai Stevenson High School, which is so interesting because now it has such a bad reputation. But when I went to Stevenson High School, it was such a good school. Like, I was on the cheerleading. We had a football team. I was on the cheerleading squad. I was in the law program. They had a law program to teach you how to argue. We actually went to the courthouse on 161st Street and did mock trials and things of that nature. Like, Stevenson High School was a good high school back in the day. But you know what? To me, this ties to your first question about, you know, poverty and how poverty impacts not just our health, but even, you know, our education, because I'm from the South Bronx. And so, you know,
right.
wasn't something that was offered to kids in the South Bronx. If you went to a junior high school in the South Bronx, they wasn't offering for you to go to any of these top schools.
Right. Right. Wow. That sounds, and I wish they were, like you said, were doing more stuff like that, where not only do they have these programs set up in these schools, but like you said, you were able to go to the actual courthouse and now have mock trials to really get that experience. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully within these schools there. Yeah, that I'm not even in. I've never been interested in law, and I think I'd have been interested in that part because it gives a whole other field, you know, for that field, you know, that career field.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Elder Natisha, what do you think about this 60-year-old man who then got vaccinated 90 times so he could sell these vaccination cards?
Yo, that's crazy. I was sitting there like, what? First of all, the fact that, like, everybody around you was all concerned about the effects of this vaccine. Everybody's arguing. People are like, no, I'm an anti-vacciner. I'm not interested in that. I don't believe in the chemicals. This wasn't, it didn't go through the FDA. It wasn't approved. It didn't go through trials long enough for me. All around him, everybody was scared about pumping this in their body. And he's sitting there like, yeah, pump me. I got money to make. That he is bold, and mental illness is serious. But desperation,
yes.
I think desperation will drive you to do self-harm just so that you can try to figure out how to live. Because that's really what it was. So this man was willing to kill himself just to figure out how to try to live. And I think that's what's sad. In America, we have to start paying attention to these kind of things. Because what drives a person to do that? Desperation. He needed money. He needed ways to live. And at 60, that's desperation. He was desperate.
And Elder Natisha, I don't think I would have even thought to come up with that plan because, you know, again, we knew that people would be, you know, selling illegal ones, you know, like, all
right,
let me just either find these blinks or, you know, let me know if I know a doctor who I could, okay, listen, doctor, if you give me these cards, you know, I'll split the profit with you, whatever. But for yourself to get vaccinated, all these times just so you could be, you know, I don't know if I would have came up with that point.
Yeah,
that is just like, what?
Yeah, what happens to you having a buddy to distract the nurse while you just swipe some of the cards? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You back in the day. Like, you go in there and pass out. So everybody come running to you, and then I will just swipe these cards.
You go ahead and pass out. Right, but those were the plans. Those were the plans, not you putting yourself in harm's way. So you may not even live long enough to sell these cards. Goodness gracious.
Exactly.
Goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness.
But I am curious. I want to know how he's doing. I want to know. Because
right. Because I was looking
how
for that.
This is.
Right, yeah. And I was looking for that at one point in the article. Like, they started going into some whole other thing, talking about how the kids will be bullied for wearing masks and shit. I was like, okay, I'm going to stop reading now because they didn't went all off topic. but I was looking for that to say, you know, okay, so he's feeling good, or, well, he did mention that now he physically feels horrible. Like, they didn't mention anything. So I just pray we don't read in the next headline tomorrow, 60-year-old man found dead in Germany because he had – too many he didn't OD on vaccination shots. Like, oh my goodness. Like, such a this game we play, like you said, when we get into this whole desperation mode. Goodness gracious.
Mm-hmm.
All right, other Natisha. Like I said, I came across this story yesterday, and I was like, I'm not even wasting my time. I'm sorry, the day before. And when I came across it again last night, I think it just, I read it differently. This Kim Kardashian situation with her being in such an uproar now that there's newfound footage leaked and her child being amongst the one that, you know, that's coming across it. What are your thoughts on that?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a valuable lesson, right, for all of us to learn. The stuff that we put out on the internet forever lives on the internet, just plain and simple. Once it gets put out there, our pictures, right, all of the sexy pictures and stuff like that, like you can, but it's going to take work and a lot of money to try to have things scrubbed off of the internet. And so that's why we have to be mindful of the things we do in our younger ages that we don't realize will come back to bite us later, you know. And so for her, it's her child coming across this. But I think in other ways, your employer can come across these things, right? Like you're applying for a job. You're applying for a school. You trying to move on with your life. You while you were living your life, you know, young people always say, I'm only 23. I'm living my life like I'm 23. I'm only 24. I'm doing what 24-year-olds do. And it's like, yeah, but think about the 30-year-old you and how will the 30-year-old you appreciate what the 24-year-old you did? And how were the repercussions for the 30-year-old because of the 20-year-old you? So I think it's a important reminder to us that the 30-year-old us, the 40-year-old us, still has to deal with everything you did in your 20s. And the stuff you do in your 30s, your 40 and 50-year-old self will have to deal with that. And will your 40-year-old self look back and say, thank you, you were responsible and you set me up to live a good life? Or will it say, ah, dag it, look what you done, and now we can't go nowhere?
And, you know, as you were talking, you know, it made me think about, you know, I have someone who, you know, or it would be easy to say, especially someone like her who doesn't have to necessarily worry about, you know, applying for a regular job, you know, but look at how, like you said, it still came to bite you because now it's almost like, do you have to make sure you keep yourself in a position where you don't have to worry about getting a regular job because you couldn't? Like, as Kim Kardashian, would you be able to, if you were not able to get another reality show deal, if all your money dried up, because despite what people believe, we know as Christians, as easy as it came, God can easily have it go away. I don't care how many zeros you got. God can make it be to where you ain't got, you got only two zeros and there's only a one on the other side of that decimal point. So would you be able, if you had to go apply at a bank, if you had to go apply at a law firm, because I think I came across an article or something that says she got her law degree or she was pursuing a law degree or something like that a few months ago.
Right.
If you had to go and, you know, do this, would you be able to walk into these establishments or, you know, these job sites and be taken serious enough to even be able to sit down and have an interview because of, you know, this is how you became famous. This is how she became famous from this sex thing.
Right.
No one knew of her before.
Right.
You know, so you had a little itty-bitty-bitty buzz because Ray J had a little itty-bitty-bitty-bitty buzz. And because you were dating him, you know, okay, if they hear of his name a little bit, they're going to hear of whoever he's dating name a little bit. But once the sex tape came out, now your name is ringing because everyone wants to see this tape. And that's what got you put out there. So I agree with you, and I think it is a really good point, like you said. When you get, God spares your life when you get older, you know, and you look back and you're like, wow, I didn't just mess myself all up because this is what I chose to do back then. Oh, goodness gracious.
It does. It emphasizes the importance of our choices and our decisions.
Right. So, did you hear about this shooting yesterday in Brooklyn?
Yeah.
yesterday.
Yeah,
oh my goodness.
I don't
normally, you know, Brooklyn is not a borough that I frequent, you know, often. I have a couple of close friends who do live, you know, out there. That's the only time I will go out there. But nonetheless, you know, mm-hmm. if you're traveling on a train, sometimes you're going to have to go through different boroughs to get to your destination.
Right.
What are your thoughts on, because I'm not sure if you were able to, you know, really read into anything yesterday, because I didn't get to read anything until mm-hmm. late last night. I didn't really know too much about it before then. But what are your thoughts on just the whole act in itself and now hearing that this man, you know, he supposedly was saying whatever to Mayor Adams and blurting stuff out on YouTube and making threats, idle threats, or can we really classify them as idle now? And, you know, screaming that he has mental health. Oh, really quick, I'm sorry, because he did put a quote out that said something about he suffered from violence, but not the typical violence. It's the type of violence that you experience as a child in school. So I don't know if he's trying to allude to the fact that he was bullied when he was younger mm-hmm. and that traveled with him up until now, and that is contributing to the decisions that he's making now.
I think what we're seeing, right, is demonic activity personified. In other words, you know, there were times when you had serial killers and mass shooters, right, do things or whatever have you, but then they would then start trying to go into hiding, even if they put out statements prior to the act of violence. It's very rare that you would see them now wanting to communicate about the why behind
mm-hmm.
their act. And I think what we're seeing is that we're seeing the demonic activity. We're seeing the devil get more and more bold. We're
yes.
seeing the demons get more and more bold. The fact that you will commit this crime and then you're going to take to public platforms and start talking and sharing your side of the story. Like that is us watching and seeing how we are progressing, how evil is progressing. And if we don't take note to what we're identifying as far as how the enemy is moving in our society and allow that to direct us back toward God, then I don't know what will. Because the fact that, you know, someone can do this and also looking at the implications of this. So them replaying this video, how that incites trauma and fear, not just for the ones who actually were present on the train, but even for those who know that they normally take the train, right? There are educators that normally
mm-hmm.
take the train that weren't
mm-hmm.
on the train because of spring break. And so
right.
now you're replaying this video. We know that these things are occurring and happening. What does that do to the psyche of individuals who are watching that? There is
right.
a lot that is going on here in the realm of the spirit. And so my thought process is there's no time for us to be playing with this stuff. This is not about us just looking at this and just sweeping it under a rug as just another mass shooting or another serial killing or another circumstance or situation. No, we are watching the enemy get bold. We're watching demons
mm-hmm.
get bold with their actions. And it's time
mm-hmm.
for the people of God to stand up and begin to pray.
Yes, that's I love how you put that, Elder Natisha, because that's something that we said when we went over the whole pronoun thing yesterday,
mm-hmm.
how, you know, you have the she, her pronouns, and that has just easily moved into these demon pronouns that, you know, people are starting to claim. And it's just like, wow, okay, we just putting this all out there. Like, there's less and less discretion. It's just everything
right.
is just like, as my grandmother would say, welcome to my house, welcome to my life. Welcome, like I'm just making all kinds of room for you to come in, for you to come
mm-hmm.
in and run havoc, you know. And that's actually something also, Elder Natisha, that I did think about a little bit, but I really love the way you put it and the words that you use. Just like, wow, like, so we, it's like, okay, yes, you did disguise yourself, but there was like little, like, because they said that one witness said that they noticed him before he even threw the smoke bomb. Like, he was standing in the corner or just standing up and was just, like, mumbling to himself. So I guess you figured you had to somehow blend in with this construction worker thing because you didn't want not even one person looking at you crazy because now everybody's on alert on the train, whether you're looking to see who's wearing their mask and who isn't, where you're looking to see. Because I know me, I'm always on alert with who's coughing. I don't even have to look at you, but if I hear you cough and it didn't sound like you covered your mouth, internally, I'm going all kinds of crazy. Okay, so it's just you got people being on alert with everything. So you had a mind to say, okay, let me try to at least blend in a little bit. But like you said, that was the only level of discretion you really wanted, and the only reason why you probably threw the smoke bomb was so you can catch more people off guard when you decided to now start shooting, because now people can't really see the shooting is coming from. So now you have easier targets. Yeah. But it wasn't so that you could be discreet, you know. So I really love the way you put that. And like you said, it does say a lot for our responsibility as Christians to stand up now and really start talking about it more that leads to prayer. So, it's so sad, so sad. But thank you, Elder Natisha. We'll be right back with you. But let's pull up your other wonderful ladies. Let's go to Pastor Kim. Good morning, Pastor Kim.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. And God bless you all.
How are you?
I am wonderful. Thanks for asking. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Now, Pastor Kim, you working in the schools. Were you able to hear about the education and how it affects our health?
I don't think I caught that one.
Okay. Okay, so really quickly, they were saying that there was a study done back in 2011 that showed the direct link between your education or lack thereof that affects your physical health. And really quick, let me just go over these. The widespread of diabetes was 15% for adults who did not complete high school, and that was twice as high as the rate for college graduates. There were more than one-fourth of adults without a high school diploma who were smokers compared to 8% of college graduates. Adults who don't finish high school can expect to live 9 years less than their college graduated peers. And they're saying that even though in low-income areas, there is a shortage of primary care physicians, even when the people in the low-income areas have the same access to health care as those who have excelled in their education, their health is still lower, even though there's, you know, still the same access to good health care. So with you being, you know, in the education field, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I can see some of that, you know, being true, but I feel like, you know, can't really say that because of a person's education level that it has so much to do with your physical health. Because I personally feel like that, okay, you can stereotype and say that, okay, people, okay, as far as it's saying, like as far as smokers, you got a lot of people that have went to college, and that's where they picked up the habits of smoking, doing drugs, and doing a lot of different things. You know what I'm saying? So just make them seem like, okay, because they went to college, that they're so much better than they're going to be better off than people that did not go to college. So you really can't say that. You know what I mean? So, I mean, because that a lot of things started off with people when they went off to college. You know, I mean, especially the ones that came straight out of high school, they started smoking and drinking and doing drugs at an early age, because once they got away from, you know, home, they, you know, got buck wild, and that's where the addiction started. You got a lot of people that might have went into the military that became alcoholics or what have you. because they went into the armed forces, they started smoking and drinking and doing drugs and different things because of what they've seen and stuff like that. So you really can't put, you know, I know sometimes there's surveys that can kind of try to determine the range of this and that, but I don't really agree that it would have anything to do with that.
Right. Well, that's a good point also, because there isn't any, like you said, cookie cutter, like, okay, you know, this is a definitive, if you don't do this, then this is the result. If you do this, this is the result. I believe, you know, with this, it was showing, again, like they said, just, you know, how one thing affects another, and this is the result. But with you saying that, I agree also with that side, because as you were talking, I was just thinking about myself and, you know, and thinking about, like you said, when you hear other people's stories, because even with Natalie Cole, when she put her story out there, that's when she got hooked on heroin, when she was in college. You know, she wasn't around it before she went to college, but when she got in college, her roommates or whomever, you know, she was around was doing it, and she decided, hey, I want to try it, and bam, that quick, now you're hooked on heroin. So it does say a lot for, you know, yes, your upbringing and everything, but also you as an individual too, because there are some who, you know, like Elvin Atisha said, I grew up in an area where you wouldn't even think that these things are offered. So it was her choice to take whatever opportunities was presented to her, you know, or to say, well, listen, this ain't what I'm used to, so I'ma just go ahead to Eastside High and just be up in here with the criminals, because that's the area, you know, that I grew up in. So I agree with that also, Pastor Kim. And I definitely wanted to get your thoughts on that, with you being an educator also. Now, did you hear about this 60-year-old man selling me the vaccination card?
Look, granddaddy need to get another hustle, okay? Granddaddy need to get another hustle, okay? You going to go and keep being vaccinated for the sake of that you trying to make some money off the vaccination? I'm like, wait a minute. I know I didn't hear this right. Granddaddy did not do. And then I was wondering, don't they put your name? Isn't your name on the vaccination card?
That's what I said. I don't know how it works. So you get vaccinated, and then right after you get vaccinated, does the doctor pull the card out and fill the card out with your information and then hand it to you? Is that how it works?
You know, because when I went, you know, my name is on my card. When I went back to get the other vaccination, then they like updated the card. You know, when I went to get the boost, they updated that card. So that's why I'm trying to figure out how you just kept going back and we're getting these cards and nobody's name is on it. Are you writing out the name or you know, and everybody's system is different the way that they do things. But just the fact that you would keep doing that to your body when you got people that have had side effects, you know, and not to mention you're up in age. You're not a spring chicken. You're an older person that are constantly getting this injected into your body. I wouldn't want to come subject to doing it. I mean, it's enough that a lot of us didn't want to do it at all, but had to, you know, for
various
reasons.
Right.
But for somebody who's just doing it because you're trying to hustle, I'm like,
I love you, Pastor Kim. Said granddaddy need a new hustle. It's just like this. I was like, this can be, and like you and Elder Natisha said, you know, it's bad enough if like I was doing it or one of Elder Natisha's daughters, you know, someday in their 20s or you know early 20s, it'd be bad enough if we were doing it. But Mr. Sir, you are 60 already. Like,
right.
Oh my goodness!
Don't get a cannabis card and sell. I mean, this legal marijuana is legal. Go and sell you some weed or something. I'm just saying. I mean, goodness gracious!
Oh my goodness. I cannot. Okay, Pastor Kim. Kim Kardashian and this new footage that's being leaked of this 2003 sex tape. And her baby bringing it to her on his tablet.
You know, I just think that, you know, it's really something how your past can come back to haunt you. You know, things, they have a saying that what's in the dark comes to the light, you know, and, you know, right when you think that things are behind you and, you know, your past is over, the enemy has a way of just allowing certain things to resurface, you know, for you to have to relive and, you know, because, you know, just it's almost like that scripture, the devil is an accuser of the brother, and he is always looking for ways and things that he could try to expose and, you know, certain things that he wants to show about what you did and how you did it or whatever, you know. And that's why people can't move forward, you know, and that's why we have to, you know, we try to forget about those things which are behind and press toward the mark, you know, but you got the enemy that's always doing his job, and that's why we always have to do ours, and we have to be so ever careful in what we do in this life, because things have a way of coming back, and then now your children have to, you know, have to see different things, you know, or have to witness, wow, that was what my mom did, or, you know, because that's what he always want to have, an aha moment, you know. And then you got people, too, that, you know, especially when they see you get big in life or when you begin to go places, they want to be like, oh, yeah, I had that, and I did this, and I did that. It makes you feel a certain kind of way, you know, and it's you know, and that's why we just have to be careful for nothing.
Right. Absolutely. Oh, well, thank you, Pastor Kim. I'm still laughing about your comment with Granddaddy.
I'm not encouraging that. I was just saying that, you know, just using that for example, that, you know.
No, right. I completely understand.
You know.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, when you said Granddaddy need a new hustle, I think that we need to... to blow that headline up and put that out there with this story underneath. That was hilarious. Oh, my God. So thank you so much, Pastor Kim, for being on with us, as you always are. Let's pull up.
And thank you.
Of course.
You did an amazing job today. I mean, I feel like I'm still talking to your mom, you know, because you sound so much like her. It's just amazing. But I like your twist. I like the way that you did your own little format today. I like it. You're doing amazing. And I know
your
mom is going to be so proud that she could count on you to get the job done.
Thank you so much. And like I said to Elder Natisha, I knew if any day I can't be slacking today, now with the three of you ladies, to have to make sure I'm on point. But thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Okay, let's pull up Lady Tamika. Good morning, Lady Tamika.
Good morning. Happy Wow Wednesday in the state of New York. It is busy out here. Happy Wednesday to you, to our ladies, and to everybody out there. You're holding it down. You're doing your thing.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It sounds busy over there. Well, sounds busy. So were you able to hear our education health tips, like how that comes
I was indeed.
Okay.
I did
and what
get
are your
access
thoughts on that?
To it.
I'm sorry?
So... I did get access. Give me just a moment. I'm trying to go a little quieter. It's getting really loud.
Okay. No problem.
All right. So I was able to hear it. And based on from what I know, you know, part of some of the issues is that when you live in other areas, you don't have as much access. Sometimes the information is limited, and so you get what you get. One of the things, the benefit is a college education sometimes will give you access to information. The people that you align yourself with, people that you go around, it changes things for you. So you get a greater benefit because of your education and your access.
All right, good point. Thank you. Hey, let's dive into these news topics really quick because this is just bugged out. Why did you talk that 60-year-old man into selling these vaccination cards, Lady Tamika?
Well, I figured, you know, he's about, give or take, you know, about 5 good years away from Social Security. So, you know, you're trying to help your income. So you figure that, you know, you help your income by giving a little extra for yourself. You know, what a benefit that is. But you're not thinking, you may not make 5 years. You may not make Social Security. You know, if disability is taking a minute, you're trying to help them along. So, you know, I never, never, ever would have come up with anything like that. But the fact that he did, amazing.
Yes. That's exactly what I said. Oh, my goodness. Kim Kardashian and this newly found footage that's been leaked. What are your
the way
thoughts?
That I see that, what comes up, it surely comes down. So you were fine initially, you know, as far as we see, with your name going out. And that was the thing that pushed you forward. You know, now mm-hmm. that you have children, you want to change everything. You want to, you know, cover up their eyes and ears and shelter them. You know, life has changed for you. But we do have to realize that every little thing, you know, it matters. You think that, you know, for the youth that are doing that, you know, you think, oh, taking a selfie for my boyfriend will be fine. You know, you break up and you date somebody else, and now it's everywhere, you know. Or you get into office, you know. Let's just say you get into a presidential office or something of real value to you. And now you're trying to figure out why stuff is happening because you're in blackball because your pictures are out. And, you know, mm-hmm. It takes so much to undo the damage that gets initially done.
Right. And, you know, I didn't even think about this until you were just talking, Lady Tamika. I remember a few, maybe about a month ago or so on Thursday, we did Pray for Them with Lawrence Fishburne's daughter. I forgot her name. Madison or something like that. But his daughter, who she decided to get into the pornography industry because she specifically said, well, this is how Kim Kardashian became famous. And her getting into that to build her name and her fame and I'm pretty sure money, that also led her into drugs and everything else. But here you're trying to copy behind this woman who didn't get into all of that stuff that you got into, but now look at how, just like all you ladies stated, look at how it now came to haunt you 20 years later. Like you said, when now you're trying to better yourself or just trying to be a better woman because now you're a mom, and this is who you tried to pattern yourself behind, but now God is allowing it to be seen that it ain't going to be no happy ending. Because this is what you chose to do. You know, so that's who you chose as your role model. And now look at this. Good goodness gracious. So the shooting.
And I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just also wanted to say a lot of times what you can do is, even if you don't have value, Google your name. You know, Google your own personal name and just start looking. And you'd be surprised how much information, how much access is out there, what type of pictures of yourself. I have something that was out there from 2007, you know, a church event that I did years ago, you know, and I was just surprised, you know, about stuff that comes up, things that you put on Instagram, things that you put on Facebook. You think that it's just that one site? No, it goes everywhere. So you got to be really, really careful what you do, who you do, you know, who you hang around with, what especially what you post.
those pitchers be so ever so careful because you never know when they pop back. And so my thing is after years of people looking, the only thing that they see about you is church, then it is what it is, and it's a blessing.
Yes. Well, I'm going to have to Google myself as soon as I hang up from you, lady. And I hope nobody else does it before I do it. I mean, I can't take nothing down, whether it be good or bad or not. Because like I said, you know, whatever's out there is out there. And it you have to jump many mountains to get that stuff taken down. But that's a really good point, Lady Tamika. Thank you. Thank you. So this unfortunate shooting yesterday morning, what are your thoughts on this whole I'm not sure if you were able to read the article, but the article that I came across was speaking on, you know, the like how it came about and how the guy ended up being able to get around the people to, you know, do his shooting, and how supposedly he, you know, gave this I just had a listener say they're Googling me now. You know what? I'm sitting on this line with three powerful women of God. You know, pray for these people, ladies. Pray for these people. the guy who's now saying that, you know, he has a mental health issue because I guess he was bullied when he was younger, and now it helped to manifest into what he's doing today or what he did yesterday. And there was so many other things that they pointed out as far as to how they even was able to pull up this particular guy as a suspect. But what are your thoughts on that, Lady Tamika?
I'm sorry, I missed that particular portion. Can you come back to me or restate? I'm so sorry.
No, that's fine. That's fine. So, you know, the shooting that happened yesterday on the N train, and they were saying that the guy was able to disguise himself as a construction worker, and then he threw the smoke bomb and just started shooting, pulled out a 9mm and just started shooting. They did find a bag that he had. I guess he left it on purpose, or I don't know, but they did find a bag that he had, and it had extra magazines in it. You know, that's the extra gun clips that has the bullets in it. It had other, like, smaller bombs. I don't know if they were smoke bombs or whatever, but they just found his bag of tricks. And he was able to shoot. Hold on. Let me see. I'm trying to pull up really quick, really quick. He was able to shoot a 15 and 19-year-old, a pregnant woman, 7 men, and 3 women. And there were some other people who had, like, injuries from, like, all of the smoke, you know, so the smoke inhalation and all of that. And it's a 62-year-old man by the name of Frank James who is now a suspect because of the, like, they found a truck that was next to one of the train stations that was rented with a credit card in his name and this, that, and the fourth, and, you know, so on and so forth. So apparently he's been saying slick remarks to the mayor publicly, and he's been on YouTube stating how he has mental health issues and blurting out whatever craziness he's been blurting out. And, you know, when he was younger, he had succumbed to violence, but not your typical violence, but violence that you would experience in school. So I immediately associated that with bullying, saying it wasn't necessarily physical, but, you know, what else can be done as far as that in school other than bullying? You know, that's just where my mind went. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, we keep talking, or this issue keeps coming up, this mental health issue, you know, whether it is a genuine health issue or whether it is something that people do and then at the end result say that they have a mental issue, those things really need to be addressed, you know. That one of those subway stations, I was affected, you know, not because I was on the train, and thank God because of this broadcast, I had to actually get to work earlier in order to get on time, you know. So I might have been affected. I just thank the Lord for, you know, his keeping power. However, you know, when you recognize that you have a health issue like that, please, please, please go see somebody. Go get it taken care of. Get the help that you need. We're getting to the point where it's just extremely dangerous for anyone who rides the subway. Day and night, you know, this was 8:30 in the morning, you know, and this is during broadcast hours. So, you know, my travel, in order for me to get here on time, I have to leave at 6:30 to get here at 7:30. So I completely avoided it. However, you know, you got to think about all of the things that transpire in that one car. Because you can't see, you're trampling all over each other. You know, so there's some damages there. The train is moving, so 9 times out of 10, you're not thinking about holding on to a pole. You're just trying to get out of the train, you know. And something as simple as one little thing happening on the train with somebody yelling. We're not even talking about the chaos that transpired. Just somebody getting on the train doing something bizarre automatically puts people on alert. We're already on alert, and now you got this gentleman coming in and, you know, gas masks and smoke. And, you know, I looked at a video of what transpired, and at the very end, you could see people coming out, running, looking back, some people with their hands over their mouth, some people with their hands over their chest. There was a gentleman that was literally coming out limping. So I don't know if he was injured from being battered back and forth, if, you know, if in the havoc he left his cane. I don't know. You could see him literally limping on one leg trying to get out of the car. And, you know, just pandemonium, you know, enough.
Yes.
One other thing, I'm sorry, I forgot. Also, trying to get back from, you know, I leave at 6 o'clock from my workplace, and, you know, the train still were not in order, you know, and people were afraid to get home. They were taking different routes of transportation. So if you normally took the A, or if you normally took the F, you now took the A, it, you know, and it caused the trains as you were coming home to be even more packed, even though the trains were running their normal schedule at that point.
Right, right. We thank God that you were not, even if you were on another car, you know, in another car, you know, because one of the videos I saw, again, you know, it was someone in another car, and then all of a sudden they just started hearing that, you know, and they started panicking naturally, you know. So we just thank God that you were nowhere around that. Oh, thank you so much, ladies. I was thinking last night, I was like, oh, goodness gracious, what can I bring to these women? Oh, goodness. I didn't know. But then I thought about the news topic, the news story about the 60-year-old couple, as Pastor Kim put it, and Kim Kardashian, you know, whatever her motives and her intentions were back then. And it made me think about, you know, what is it that we're chasing? And that made me think about, you know, where's our, like, storing up our treasures. Are we storing up our treasures here on earth, or are we storing up our treasures in heaven? And again, when I thought about those two stories, it's okay, like you ladies stated, you know, this man, are you chasing money for whatever reason because you really don't have anything, or is this some extra money on the side that you need? Either way, you're going about getting this money all wrong. And for Kim Kardashian, were you chasing clout, as we would say now, you know, chasing the notoriety, chasing the fame, chasing the money because you wanted your name to be out there, because no one really knew you, your sisters and your mother. Everyone knew your father because of his friendship and affiliation with O.J. Simpson back in the day. And now, did you feel like, well, I need to do this to get myself out there, so this is what I'm going to do, and now I'm just really working on storing up my treasures here instead of where it really needs to be? And of course, naturally, we don't have any concept of this until we are really introduced to God and start living a life for Christ. And of course, it made me think about the story where the young man went to Jesus and said, what can I do to inherit the kingdom? And Jesus said, well, you need to sell all of your possessions, because this was a very wealthy man. You need to sell all your possessions, let it go, and follow me. And he just walked away sad because he wasn't willing to do that. I guess that was the furthest thing from his mind. He didn't think Jesus was going to respond with that. But it just showed that his heart was with his things here on earth, and he wasn't considering having his heart with Jesus where he claimed he wanted to be, you know, in the kingdom. So I came across
they gave a couple of ways to store up your treasures in heaven. And the first way they gave was to seek the kingdom of God first. Elder Natisha, what are your thoughts on seeking the kingdom of God first when your priority is to store up your treasures in heaven?
I think that that is the number one thing to do. One, because it sets the tone for us on how and what we should be asking for. So to be able to get a God's perspective of why we are even here, right? Like, God created us for a purpose. He created us with a plan in mind. So going back to the creator, the one who created us in order to align our lives appropriately is the first priority. And so, and that's what the Bible tells us, right? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added. So the very things that you want, you don't have to expend all of the energy, right? All this energy, like grasping for the wind, constantly like riding a stationary bicycle. Like you're right. And you in the same spot. You're not going nowhere because your priorities are not aligned. In order to move forward, you want to align your priorities with God. Seek him first so that you can be in alignment with him on what path you ought to be taking and where the open doors will be set that'll get you to where you want to be.
Oh, I like that. Thank you. Thank you. Pastor Kim, in order to set our treasures in heaven, we have to make sure we're seeking the kingdom of God first.
Absolutely. You know, I love Matthew 6:33. That's one of my favorite scriptures about seeking first the kingdom of God, because, you know, it's so important. When you think about seek, you know, seek and you shall find, and knock and the door shall be open. Seeking comes with a mindset, you know, being a God chaser, having a desire first to want God, to have a godly desire for more of him, to be pleasing unto him, to do the things and to do the will of God. So we have to seek after him, you know, and when we seek him, we will find him, you know. So I was thinking about, you know, just in when we seek first the kingdom of God, you know, he told us everything is on a condition, but first you got to do this. First you have to do my will, keep my commandments. And he's letting us know, if you desire me, you know, he said, if you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. But again, everything is on a condition. So when we seek God first, and when we keep him first, because God said in his word, my name is jealous. And when we put things and people before him, God gets jealous, and he has a right to be jealous, especially when he woke us up, when he continues to provide, when he continues to do great and mighty things for us. He wants to be first, you know. So when we do things according to the word of God and the way that God tells us to do it, seek me first, and everything else that you need, everything else that you want, it's going to be added. It's, you know, God's multiplication is not like our normal multiplication. You know, I'm telling you, God will do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think when you simply seek him first.
Amen, amen. Y'all got me over here analyzing my life. Y'all do, because as Pastor Kim, you talking, Elder Natisha, you're talking, I just got a whole like other level of understanding of that story with you know, with him telling the man to sell his possessions, and like you ladies point out, the verse, seek him first and then he will have all of these, like he will put all of these things in your life. I just got real open. Okay. Lady Tamika, seek the kingdom of God first in order to set your treasures in heaven. I'm sorry.
Definitely. Seeking him first makes a difference. all the way around, in that it allows us to, it aligns us, basically. And when you're aligned in that way, it keeps you from doing all of the other stuff. You know, it's lying, cheating, stealing, you know. There's all kinds of stuff where you think, oh, because such and such doesn't see me, it still has a value. And so seeking God first makes all the difference in the world, because it keeps you from doing all the other stuff that anybody else does. You get acclaimed because of God and not because of anything else.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, the next point they give is live a simple life. In order to store up your treasure in heaven, you just have to be able to live a simple life. Pastor Kim.
Amen. You know, right. Live a simple life. You know, when you have find yourself, you know, just desiring all these big things and all of this other stuff, you'll find in the end that all of that stuff, it doesn't even matter. You know why? It's like gaining the world, but you yet lose your soul, because you wanted all of the riches and you wanted all of these things that are not the things that are going to get you into heaven. You know, when you just keep, you know, keep things simple, you know, continue to just stay humble. Simple to me is like remaining humble, you know, and not just trying to be so big and trying to be so flashy and trying to be all about this and all about that, you know. Just keep it simple. Just keep it simple.
Thank you. I like, and you're right. You're right. That does go hand in hand with humility. Elder Natisha,
yes.
Store up your treasure in heaven by just living a simple life.
Yeah, I think, you know what, it's also decluttering our minds and our emotions, right? Like this idea of simple. Things become heavy and complicated and chaotic when we are discontented, when we're constantly looking over at our neighbor, desiring something that we feel like we don't have. When I look at another's beauty and determine in my heart and in my mind that I'm not that. When I look at another person's Facebook status and make a determination that, oh, I wish I had a mate like that, right? It fills us with all of these complicated thoughts that really take away from our simplicity. Simplicity derives from contentment. It's our ability to be content with what God has given us. I am content with the beauty that God has given me internally and externally. I am content with where I am right now. Why? Because I'm not going to stay here. Wherever I am right now, in my finances, in my emotional state, in my relationship status, wherever I am right now, I'm not going to stay here. Like, I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to progress, because God said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. So if I trust in God's word, abundant life belongs to me. So today, I can be happy. Today, I can be content. Today, I can live a simple life of gratitude, looking around me saying, it may not be filet mignon, but I thank God for my chicken. It may not be the full mansion that I want, but I thank God for the house that I live in that got furniture in it. And it may not be the top furniture. My furniture may be 20 years old, but Father, I thank you that I have a seat to sit in. That is simplicity, contentment. It's being content with what God has given you right now and fight against the influences of this world that make us constantly look outside for something more.
Ooh, I love what she just said, Elder Natisha. The influences especially, you know, because again, you think that a lot of times, especially if you're someone who's on social media for whatever reason, and you think, oh, that doesn't affect me, that doesn't affect me. And sometimes unless you really sit down and analyze it, you don't realize that it is affecting, you know, the things that you desire and the things you compare yourself to and
you know, how you beat yourself up or how you set all these goals for yourself. It does. But I really love when you mm-hmm. said, I can be content at where I am because I know I'm not going to stay here. And that speaks so much
yeah.
about our faith in God. I love, I'm going to have to make that into a shirt. I'm gonna have to put that on the shirt.
Mm-hmm, there you go.
And put your name under it as you giving that quote. I love that. I love that mm-hmm. because it definitely does say a lot about what do you believe God can do for you despite how things look now.
That's right.
I love that. I love that. Lady Tamika, store your treasure up in heaven by just living a simple life.
You are completely right about that, in that a lot of times we have a tendency to look at things, you know, whether it's somebody's workplace, whether it's, you know, oh, you know, we go to somebody's home and, ooh, I would love to have such and such like that. And you know, you keep trying to get the resources so that you can do such and such and such, you know, but you have to understand that sometimes things are not assigned for you, you know, and you have to be careful in trying to compare yourself to somebody. God made you ideal. And he made you unique for a specific reason. The other thing that I like about storing up your treasures is when your treasure is in God, when those days come when you say, you know what, I may not have such and such, but I've got a God that knows me, and he knows what I need. He knows my future needs. He knows my present needs. He knows my past. And maybe I didn't get the house that such and such, and maybe I didn't get the such and such, and maybe I didn't even get such and such, but in my future, in my due time, in that further, that those days to come, those months to come, those years to come, what's the blessing come? Because you waited, because God said, not yet, not now, but in the future, I will. And you'll get the acclaim and the things that you thought, oh, well, you passed over me. God didn't pass over you. He heard you. He acknowledged you. He just simply said, not now. And watch what he does. You'll be surprised. Like, okay, fine. You didn't get that home. But now look what you got. You didn't get that such and such, that job. But look at the blessing that you got because you waited. And that patience and storing up your treasures in God makes a miracle out of something simple.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. As all three of you were talking, and even with this this tip of just live a simple life, and then listening to all you ladies, it put me in the mind of, oh my goodness, my grandmother, that lady was fucked. You would be doing or saying something, and especially if you seem so serious about it. So like you ladies said, you ain't got to do all this extra stuff. Just be content with who you are, what you're doing, what God gave you to do, and you'll be fine. And she'll see you doing all these things, saying all this. That ain't going to get you into heaven. Like, what? I'm not doing that. What are you talking about but to her? It's just like, what you doing all this fancy stuff for? What you talking all fancy for? That ain't going to get you into heaven. And just a lot of it happens delivery. But with reading this, just live a simple life, it does say so much about, okay, so why do we feel like, because again, you know, we agree with Jesus says, on the day of judgment, many people will come up to you and say, Lord, Lord, we did this in your name, we did that in your name. So look at you and say, get away from me, I don't know you, and practice God's law. And it's like, hey, so I did all of this for nothing? And it's like, well, I ain't ask you to do all that. I just asked you to do this over here. You chose to do X, Y, and Z when I just told you to do A, B, and C. So it really does say a lot for just living a very simplistic life. Okay, ladies, say you can store up your treasure in heaven by taking risks that will honor God. Lady Tamika. Lady Tamika, you talking to the mute button?
I was. A full-blown conversation. So, you said taking risks that honor God?
Yes. They say you can store up your treasure in heaven by taking risks that honor God, that honors God. I'm sorry.
Okay. So a lot of times there are ways that we can skirt, you know, we can avoid or
you know, the crowd is doing this, you know, or I heard people get by doing such and such, you know, and standing for God makes all the more difference. So you decide that I'm not going to go with the crowd. I'm not going to do what they do. I'm not going to hang where they go, you know, and mm-hmm. it does make a difference in your life. You'll find that sometimes, you know, the lonely place, and I'm not saying lonely, but being alone is not a detraction, but an attraction, you know, and it brings you closer to God, and it also allows you to stand out. And there's nothing wrong with standing out, because the difference is that you're standing for God, and that attraction brings other people to you, which also brings others to God.
Thank you. I like that risk of being willing to look different and be different and go against what everybody else is doing. Thank you. Pastor Kim, store up your treasure in heaven by, I'm sorry, what kind of enemy's trying to make me up? By taking risks that will honor God.
Amen. You know, when you said taking a risk, that makes me think about making sacrifices, you know, mm-hmm. and when you take a risk, that means that I'm willing to take a chance on something, you know, because I believe that there's going to be a reward, or there's going to be a greater benefit because I'm taking, I'm actually taking a leap of faith. So, you know, do we have to walk by faith and not by sight? You know, we can't be consumed by what we see with our eye gates. We have to always, you know, be willing to make a risk, you know, for the sake of the cross. You know, God went to the cross, and in this most holy week, as we were think about the risk and the sacrifice, you know, that he made for love, you know, and that's what mm-hmm. love will make you do. It will make you take risks. It'll make you take a leap of faith. It'll make you step out into the unknown, not knowing what's going to happen. But because you have a faith in a higher being, you know, you're trusting and you believe in love. As I just like Peter, when he stepped out into that water, when God began to beckon him and tell him to come to him, he took a risk. He stepped out into, he launched out into the deep, not knowing if he was going to drown, if he was going to sink. But, you know, when he begins to keep his eyes on God, and that's what we mm-hmm. have to always do. We got to keep our eyes on the prize. Continue to keep your eyes on God. Hallelujah. And just knowing that God has an expected end, because he told us that in Jeremiah. He told us that he has an expected end for us. So we have to continue to trust God, even when we can't trace him. Take a risk. Take a mm-hmm. leap of faith and know that it's going to be worth it. God bless you all.
Yes, thank you. Elder Natisha, we're storing up our treasure in heaven by taking risks that will honor God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first place I went was to that same, the same scripture, that identifying Peter, right, taking a risk and stepping out of the boat. But two things stand out for me about that scripture. One is that his faith unleashed supernatural, you know, the supernatural in his life. His ability mm-hmm. to walk on water, for the steps that he did make, walking on water, that only happened because he took action. This mm-hmm. idea of taking a risk means that we have to take action. Peter took an action. He said, God, if it's you, that's the first question. Father, mm-hmm. is this you? If it's you, then I'm willing to take the risk, because I know that I can't fail until I shift and allow fear to control me. So when mm-hmm. fear came in, that's when he began to sink. So this idea of taking a risk is, one, making sure that the risk is something that God has ordained for you to do. We want to step mm-hmm. out of the boat because we've identified that God is calling us out the boat. And then once yes. we step out the boat, that faith releases the supernatural. Your ability to step out and trust God by faith, it releases the supernatural in your life that opens up doors. And I keep, this is the second time I'm saying opening up doors, because my experience has been that when I've not been afraid to just step out in spite of self-doubt, because here's the thing that usually keeps us stuck.
is that in our own mind, we start saying, I don't have the skill set for that. I can't do that. You read a job description and think, oh, I'm not qualified for that. I can't do that. Mm-hmm. Until you say, God, is this you? God says, yes, this is me. Go ahead and walk through the door. I'm going to give you everything you need in the door. Mm-hmm. And so my encouragement to all of our listeners today is that when you identify that it's God, don't even worry about the job description. Don't worry about your skill set. Don't worry about your education. Don't worry about what you don't have. As long as it's God, go ahead and step out in it, because when you step out in it, God is going to release the supernatural in your life, and you're going to have skills that you didn't know you had. You're going to have there's going to be an ability, a knowledge about things, and you're going to be like, oh, my God, I didn't even know I knew this. How do I know this? Step out and do it. It's not until you let fear control you that you begin to sink. So step out and take a risk.
Thank you. Y'all ladies, this is confirming. Oh, my God. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much, Elder Natisha. You ladies have hit so many points. And just, I love the breakdown of each tip that they gave, that you ladies expounded on, because it just goes further than, you know, what we just read biblically or what we may just talk to someone else about. Mm-hmm. So thank you, ladies, so much for being on with me this morning, for feeding life into me, because I can't even begin to tell y'all how many things y'all confirmed for me alone. So I'm sure y'all have answered a whole lot of questions for listeners, whether they're listening live or whether they'll listen later on, and possibly also confirming some things. So thank you so much, ladies.
Amen.
Have a blessed day.
Amen.
Have a wonderful
Amen.
Day.
Amen.
Ladies.
You too, ladies.
Thank you.
Bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you. Hey, we cannot close down on our Wednesday morning, Pastor Steph would kill me if we didn't make sure we got our faith over fear with Pastor Sharlin. Good morning, Pastor Sharlin.
Good morning, baby. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
My voice is a little shaky, but I'm good. I'm good.
Okay. I'm happy that you're still feeling okay, despite the little tingling. Mm-hmm. But we would love to get your faith over fear when it comes to, you know, just us being afraid, you know, especially as Christians. But, you know, we have to make the choice every morning to, you know, where we're going to set our hearts. You know, are we going to set them here on earth, or are we going to give our hearts to God and let our treasures be stored in heaven? So what is your faith over fear with that this morning, as far, like when it comes to storing up your treasure in heaven?
Amen. I just wanted to say about the fear part first. If we don't keep our eyes on the Lord, we will be fearful. And just like the ladies were saying, we have to step out and just trust and know that it is God that is telling us. We have to be so careful, because a lot of times we think that we hear God and it's really ourselves, because we're so eager. And that's where we fall at, in our fear side, because if it's not lined up with the Lord and we just do ourselves, everything is going to fall apart. And we're fearful because of the fact that we have to continue to not listen to other people as well. You know, you have to keep your ear gates only to the Lord. When we allow people to tell us that we can't do, you will never do, you won't have that, you know, how can you possibly? And then when they start talking the negative around you is where that we fall, and where we continue to believe and trust in folks, where that we have to learn how to guide our ears, our eyes, our hearts, and our spirit to the Lord only, and he will direct our path. He will show us where we should go. He will open up the door, because he is the door. And once we do that and we have a made up mind with Christ, then we'll be able to see the treasures that he has for us. We'll be able to do what people say that we can't do, you know, because he will be with us. And not only will he be with us, he gives us the tools of what we need. It's already planted in us. We just have to be able to step out. I was loving when Elder Natisha was talking about when Peter was in the boat. That scripture right there alone will show you, keep your eye on Jesus. Once we take our eye and put it on ourselves, and oh my goodness, I can't do that. Oh my goodness, you know what? A long time ago, somebody told me that I'd never be nothing, and you proved them wrong, because when you with Christ, you can do all things. It's possible with him. So we have to make sure that we know that it's nobody but the Lord that is guiding us. Our fearful part is because it sets in, because it's something new, something that you never done before. But we got to remember, he doesn't keep us in the box either. He always feeding us new things within us. He's always showing us something else that we can do. He gives us more than one gift. He shows us, who would ever think, I say this all the time, that any of us would be on this radio. Who would have ever think 5 years ago, you know, 6 years ago, who would ever think that most of us that are preachers before that you would ever would be called to do that because our past. You know, so if we continue just to keep knowing that God is possible and we are peculiar people, so he always going to show us, he always dust us off, and he always show the world, look what I have created. Look what I've been able to plant inside my daughters, my sons, amen, for us to be able to do, you know, because who would ever think? If we just go back, who would ever think? You know, most little children at 5 years old, especially little girls, the more that we do is talk about getting married, you know, having a good job. But who would ever think that we will be able to lean on the Lord the way that we all do right now, and to be able to be a blessing to someone else, to be to show other little girls that this is where I came from, but look at us now. Little boys, this is where I came from, but look at us now. And it's never too late. Never too late to be able to turn your life over to Christ. So to know that because of the fact that we have been able to get on here to inspire, to be able to minister, to be able to help someone, to be a mentor to other people, look what God has done. We have not done this ourselves. He has done this for us, and he is the one that we have to continue to keep our eyes on. And look, it doesn't stop here. We'll continue growing. We'll continue of doing new things, because who knows by next year what we might be doing. I always say we're going to take this on the road, and the radio, we'll be able to travel. That's what I believe, and I trust in God that we'll be able to show even more, where people will be out of the phone and be able to be seen in person as the due time with Pastor Steph crew. And that's something that I believe and trust that the Lord is going to do for us, and whoever, where we'll be able to, people be able to see us for themselves, and we'll be able to sit down and to be able to minister to them as well. And that's where we know that our treasures have already been laid up for us, and we are just walking through them right now. So that's my faith over fear on today.
Amen, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Charlene. Thank you. Hey, let's go with our benediction. Romans 15:13, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, that's Romans 15:13, and that's in the NLT version. And I would just like to thank our wow ladies, our women of worship, our Lady Tamika, our Pastor Kim, our Elder Natisha, and our Pastor Charlene. Definitely like to thank Pastor Steph for, again, following what God put on her heart. Actually, she was talking to Pastor KL, and Pastor KL asked her, did she think that I would be okay with hosting? And she said to him, you know what, that's not a bad idea. So I thank God, you know, for him putting it on Pastor KL's heart and him saying it to Pastor Steph, and Pastor Steph you know, thinking and saying, you know what, I can trust Shantice with this. And, you know, just listening to all of these ladies today, listening to the tips again about, you know, storing up our treasure in heaven. And I have to honestly say that if I didn't, you know, get to the point where I want to, you know, surrender to God, even in the areas where I feel like I'm still fighting. And I'm just like, but God, I just need you to help me to stop fighting, because I want to want what you want. I see how you have me looking at things differently. I see how you have me hearing differently. I see how you setting my desires up to be different. You know, the things that I was, you know, chasing before and the things that I wanted to do before, even if you just tweaked it, which he has. You know, I in the world, I was trying to pursue so much. I was, you know, going to auditions and, you know, pursuing a singing career and doing this. And it's like, you see how hard you was going to do all that? I need you to go even harder in me. I need you to be just as blunt and everything, but there's still some things I need to work out of you and need to work in you. And Elza and Atisha kept talking about opening up doors, and that's something that I kept coming across, like out of nowhere. I was getting notifications, you know, look at this YouTube video about God opening doors. And I've been praying to God and saying, okay, God, I would love to do this, and God, I would love to do that. And I would have never thought, you know, all this time when Pastor Steph was planning her vacation, that even for one day I would have been, you know, asked to host. And I just deem it a true blessing, because it shows also what God trusts me with. And if God trusts me to do this, like, this is something serious. You know, this ain't my show, for one. You know, when someone else trusts you with something, and, you know, the Bible tells us, you know, if you can't be faithful over another man's things, then God will not give you anything of your own to be faithful over, because you already shown that you can't be trusted with someone else's stuff. And it's like, God, this is serious. Like, this is the ministry that you have placed in Pastor Steph's hands, and now she's trusting me with this, and now you're putting on, you know, Pastor KL and Brother Al and Lady Tamika and Pastor Kim and Pastor Ed and Lady Tamika, all of them, Vivian, you know, that they're now trusting me with doing this show with them, you know. And if my treasure was still here on this earth, you know, chasing after men and chasing after attention and chasing, and I still wanted that. Like, not only, you know, is, you know, okay, God saying, I still see it there a little bit, but I'm still working it out of you, but I'm still saying to God, no, I still want to chase that. I highly doubt he would have blessed me with this opportunity these past few mornings. You know, I thank all of you listeners, our faithful listeners, you know, listeners who are listening for the first time, just thank you so much for trusting me, tuning in and listening. You know, if you heard my voice on Monday, you didn't say, oh, well, I'll wait until Thursday when Pastor Steph comes back. Just trusting me with bringing you the news, bringing you the health tips, you know, again, because God gives us these things to minister to ourselves first, and then he trusts us to now share this with everyone else. So it does say a lot. You know, when God said, I need you to take this risk. And when we brought up that point, it was something one of the ladies said that made me remember, you know, we're always willing to take our own risks. You know, the things that God tries to shield us from, and he tries to say, please don't do that. And we're like, well, I want to do this anyway. And you take that risk, and then you break your own heart, or you put someone else in a position to break your heart. And now when God needs you to go out on a limb, you just flat out telling God, I ain't doing that. And I can attest, I'm one who has said that many a times in many different ways. And it's like, so you're really willing to trust yourself and man and not God. And now that you don't trust yourself nor man, now you don't trust God. You just all twisted. So we just really have to make sure that our heart is where God needs it to be. That whatever God says, whatever Jesus says, this is what I need you to give up. You know, it brings me back to the meme that they had a few years ago, where there was a little girl with a teddy bear, and Jesus was in front of her and said, you know, just give me your teddy bear. And she's crying, holding it tight, and says, no, but I love it, I love it. Meanwhile, he has behind his back a huge teddy bear. And he's like, just give this little bit to me so I can give you something so much more. And if we're not willing to let go of the little bit that we have, because no matter how big it seems to us, it's only a little bit, then we're going to cheat ourselves out of all of the things that God has for us. So I just thank you guys again so much. Please tune in tomorrow. Pastor Steph Gospers will be back on tomorrow with Therapeutic Thursdays. I have to do the jingle like her. Okay, she will be on So please make sure that you're on tomorrow morning. So welcome her back. Again, I thank you guys so much. I pray everyone has a safe, blessed day. And again, in the words of Pastor Steph, and I do mean it for myself too, I love you.